It's a subject that is kind of a difficult subject in some ways, and yet possibly an easy subject. Holiness. Well, that's the title anyway. And as I thought about this, I thought of, we have titles in this world. Different people have different titles. The Reverend, the Very Reverend. There's not too many people called Your Holiness, is there? Who do we know anyone who has a title, Your Holiness? The Pope. And as I thought about that, there is actually, and I looked this up on the internet, and you have the Holy, Your Holiness, the Dalai Lama, Your Holiness, the Pope. And I thought about this, and I thought, are these fair titles? And should he be called Your Holiness? Because really, I don't think so, because there is only one. And there is only one who was ever true holiness. But anyway, so we're going to look at holiness and what might it mean. So holy, we can say it means set apart or pure or perhaps morally perfect or sacred. These are some ideas. So we might sing holy, 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 or holy are you. And it's meaning, and sometimes we might lose the meaning of it. But it's very set apart, pure, not corrupted by sin, not corrupted in any way. Morally perfect, sacred. That's what we're talking of, holy. And in Isaiah, God is called, holy, holy, is the Lord Almighty. So God is called holy. God is holy. Now we say, oh yeah, we know that. We know that. But they're just, God is holy. He is perfect. He has no sin. He has never sinned. And as I looked into this, and I looked at the Old Testament of holiness, and God asked Moses to build a special, I call it a box or a chest, and it was called the Ark. It was a big box, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony. This big box was something that Moses had to build, and this box represented God's presence when they travel around, this box, this special big box that they carried. And it was so holy that they were told never to touch this box. They weren't allowed to touch it. They weren't allowed to look upon it. It was, when they traveled, they covered it. They had to carry it with this, it was a big box, they had special poles, and they covered it over with cloths and things, so you couldn't actually look upon it. You couldn't look in it, you couldn't look at it, and you certainly didn't touch it. Now then, this box later on a couple of occasions, some people got hold of, they found this box, the Israelites, and what did they do? They, a curiosity, they happened to look inside it. And what happens is, 70 people were put to death by God just for looking inside it. That's the holiness of God. Because it was supposed to be covered and it was supposed to be not looked at, but they had sort of gazed in curiosity. They'd looked in, and 70 men, it says, were put to death for looking on the holiness of this ark. Seems harsh, doesn't it? Just looking at it. It seems harsh, but that is the holiness of God. Another time, the ark was being moved on a cart, and the cattle stumbled. The box went to moved, and one of the people put his hand up to stop it falling. And that man dropped dead. God put him to death for touching this holy box, this holy ark. And we might think that's harsh again, but that's the holiness of God. Actually, in that case, they shouldn't have been carrying it on a cart in the first place. They were not doing it right anyway. But that's beside the point, really. The point is, the holiness of God was too much for anyone to look upon or to touch. There's the point of it. And in Isaiah, what does he say? Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord. He's seen God. What does he? And his first reaction is, I'm undone. I'm ruined. I've seen God. It's the end of me. Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he realized when he saw the holiness of God, what a mess he was. And we might think of him as a very good chap, but he saw God and what a mess he was. And we are called to be holy. That's one of the things we're called to be. We're called to be holy. We're called to be pure. And Christians have done many things down the ages to try and be holy. From my own point of view, when I was brought up, I didn't play football on a Sunday. I wasn't allowed to go out and play ball on Sunday because that would not be seen as holy. We didn't buy, and there's reason to this when you look into it. You might think, oh, that's fine, that's odd. but people come to work things out. You could say we weren't allowed to go out, not to mix. See, it was keeping it holy, keeps Sunday special. This is one of the commandments. So there's reason for it. We weren't allowed to buy pop or worldly music. And you'd say, well, why is that? Well, because the money that I would be spending on that band would be supporting that band. Is that right or wrong? Holy living. So there's another example. We didn't buy any pop music. That's just something that we were brought up with. Holy living. Not to buy. We could buy Christian music, but we wouldn't buy worldly music, because you would be using your cash to support those bands, whatever. And some of the bands my parents didn't think a lot of. So their influence on our society. Some people might think the Beatles are marvelous, but they thought they were terrible. So there's just an example for you. But that's just one example. No housework to be done on Sunday. The funny thing is, that's the one day I did do the dishes. That was my day for washing the dishes Sunday. I don't know why. It's the worst day. But I somehow volunteered for that one. I don't know why. We never watched television on Sunday. Didn't watch any TV. It didn't matter. It could have been a final. It could have been, you know, the men's Wimbledon final. We didn't watch it. We missed out. You go to school. You could never get into conversation with the other kids because everything they'd watched on Sunday, you hadn't watched. Keep the Sabbath day holy. We didn't shop on Sunday unless it was really necessary. We never went to the cinema. I never went to the cinema as a child. Never. Holy living. If we were in the middle of a film, watching a film, and someone swore or blasphemed, boop, the telly went off. Right in the middle of it, boop, off it went. That was holy living. You didn't finish the film, it was switched off because of blasphemy. How many of us will just carry on when they're in the middle of the film, someone says, oh God, or oh Christ, or something like that? Do we just carry on watching it, or do we switch it off? But That's the challenge. But that's what we were brought up with. That's holy living, what I was brought up with. And one time, I came, me and my brother, we were walking up from the beach. We were on holiday. And we met a stranger. No, we didn't know him. And I don't know why he stopped and he said to us, "Boys, are you having fun?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "You shouldn't be having fun. God does," something, I can't remember the exact words, "God doesn't really like you to have fun." Something along that line, see. That was his understanding of godliness. Shouldn't have fun. Do you see how some people interpret these things? And there's some reason why he's come to that. And then I look at how, perhaps not necessarily me, but the church in general, you know, Catholic priests, they mustn't get married. That's their way of saying they must be devoted to God. So, No, I know. But not now. Yeah. They've taken this so they can't, and the nuns don't get married because they devoted themselves to God. I'm not going to go into the rights and wrongs of it here and now, but I'm just saying it's how some people take on holy living. They might prescribe certain things to do. And what I'm going to do from here on in, I'm going to use someone else's words. I'm not going to use my own words. Well, I'll just say a few things, but not much more. And I'm going to read somebody else's sermon from start to finish. I don't know what you call it. I'm just going to read somebody else's, and that'll be that. But as I read this, you know, we can often think of other people. We can sit here thinking, "Oh yeah, that's sort them out. I hope they're listening." But I know for sure, when I read this out, it'll concern every single one of us, what I'm going to read out. And I'm going to read to you a message from the Bible, actually. And when I look at this, we'll start. I'm reading the Sermon on the Mount. So it's not my words. They're Jesus' words. And he'll set the standard of holiness for us. When he starts, he's talking about what we call the Beatitudes. It's talking about a contrite heart, really. It's pointing to himself. It's pointing to humility. And as he goes on into the next bit, he's setting out his stall, because when he meets people, the one thing that they do accuse him of is breaking the law. The law of Moses. But it's one thing he says he's come to uphold. So I'm going to just read this, and that's going to be it, really. I'm just going to wade my way right through the Sermon on the Mount for us, from start to finish. This is a message that Jesus spoke, and this is holiness or kingdom living. And that's stick with it, because it's a long reading. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, and this is the bit where he talks about contrite heart, humility, and looking to Jesus. It doesn't say exactly like that, but hey. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall," thank you, "receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the bit about the law. You are the salt. Well, not this bit. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's going to go on and on, but this is the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever, and I always remember this from when I was a kid, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Strong, isn't it? Just saying to someone, you fool. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponents at law while you're with him. Settle out of court, it's saying here. It's just what we know, the language. While you are with him on the way, so that your opponents may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman, men here, we're struggling now. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. All the men can pull their eyes out. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all. How often do we make oaths? Either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is a footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes. So if you're going to say yes. Or no, no. If you're going to say no, don't have to swear. There should be enough trust in you or honesty in you that all you have to do is say, I'll do that, or yes, I will. Yeah, no. Do you see? You don't have to say, on my life, I will do it. You don't need to say things like that. We're told not to. Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Strong, isn't it? If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How are you all feeling? This is a very high standard, isn't it? We carry on though. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed of them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So don't make a big fuss about it. Do it in quiet, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Oh, there will be a reward if you do it in secret. It says it there. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Ooh, there's another challenge coming up. Fasting. Whenever you fast, not if ever you fast, whenever you fast, challenging, isn't it? Do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Just the next bit. We once had a house group, and I think we had Steve Hembry came to speak. When we used to keep in, have a little group in Connie's. And he said something along the line of, you can tell people's commitments by just looking at their bank statements and their diary. So basically what they spend their money on and what they spend their time on, you would be able to see what someone's life is all about. So this next bit. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you spend your time thinking about? What do we think about a lot of the time? Are we thinking about our treasure in heaven or our treasure on earth? The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Well, sometimes it says God and money. Here it says God and wealth. when it says hate, sometimes you could say it puts second. It's a Jewish thing. So when it says you will hate one, priorities, it's what you will prioritize in your life. You will prioritize wealth over God. For this reason, I say to you, let's have a quick look at that. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But these are great words. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Prioritize. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. We're getting there. We are getting there. Still a bit to go, but almost finished. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. We're on the home stretch now. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, that's the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Interesting one, isn't it? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not one of their scribes. And that's all I wanted to say, really. That's the message of Jesus. It's not my message, it's his message. It's his standard of holiness. And I think we're all challenged by it. And any questions on it, come and have a word afterwards. But it might seem like a heavy sermon, but that is standard of God.